So today's first lesson is the story of Moses with the burning bush. Right? It's one of those crazy Bible stories that you read and you say, okay, that's just outside of my experience. Right? I'm not used to seeing shrubberies on fire but not being consumed. But there it is. As I was thinking about this account this week of Moses and the burning bush, I thought about how it is really an amazingly accurate outline that we might use for considering our own spiritual growth. And we can spend months on this. We won't, but we could. If you want to check it out at home, it's in Exodus chapter 3. But what do we see in today's passage? Moses leaves behind the things that were distracting him and goes out into the wilderness. And we've talked about wilderness here. Sometimes we end up in the wilderness. And Moses, out in the wilderness, notices something. Right? God is present, God is active, and Moses notices and says, I don't understand that. And so Moses pauses, and Moses responds in prayer, says, "Here I am, Lord." And in fact, Moses even engages in religious practices, right? He takes off his shoes and he covers his face. And Moses begins to know God in a new way, thanks to these practices and God's revelation of God's self. Moses begins to know God, and Moses begins to learn a little bit more about who God is and how God is in the world and what God is concerned about. And speaking of God's concerns, it's really striking to me, and we see it in this passage, right? That this is the center of the Hebrew Bible, right? This is the center of the story of God among God's people. Right here, God expresses God's purpose, God's meaning, God's way of being in the world. And what is it about? Right? It's about liberating an oppressed people. Right? It's about speaking truth to a nation that oppresses God's people. It's about providing liberty and a new system, a new kingdom, a new nation, where God's love will characterize what happens. And this is the center point. Everything that has come before this in the Bible and everything that comes after it all points to this one concern of God. And so Moses gets to hear God's concern. And as Moses hears this, Moses begins to hear also to discern a calling. God is calling Moses to do something. And Moses, right, he's sympathetic to this calling. He's done this kind of thing before, but it didn't go well. He's not sure he wants to go back to this. He's afraid. And so we encounter Moses' fear. And we encounter Moses struggling and being in that fear and having to come to recognize that what God is calling him to do is not going to happen because of Moses' power or Moses' ability or Moses' name, but it's because of who God is. And because of God's name and God's power. So there's this whole outline of the spiritual life. And we could talk about each of these little pieces and how they intersect with our lives. But this morning I just want to consider one little piece. And that is the burning bush, the shrubbery that wouldn't be consumed, and what this caused Moses to notice. Now, like I said, I've never seen a shrubbery of this nature, but I have at times felt my own heart burning within me. Right? Sometimes I felt so full of emotion, I felt like I was burning up and it was going to consume me. But it didn't. I was still here. Sometimes this consuming emotion within me, this heart burning within me, sometimes it's a result of joy, Sometimes something so great has happened or is happening. Sometimes there is satisfaction. Sometimes there is contentment. Friday, I dropped Aviva off at college. A couple weeks ago, we dropped Eli off at college. Our kids are gone. And there's sadness in that, yes, but there's also so much joy. Right? I mean, they're doing their thing. And, you know, we're no longer responsible for them 24 hours a day, right? They're off becoming adults on their own, and we're just delighted watching this. And so there's satisfaction and there's contentment. When I was driving Aviva up to Boston, Becky found that Aviva had left a greeting card on her pillow to Mommy and Daddy. And it was one she'd bought at the drugstore, and it said, "Congratulations, well done, you've done it." She was congratulating us on 20 years of raising children and finally having them off to college. It was very sweet. I think about how we gather to worship together. Right? We show up on a beautiful morning at the beginning of September in order to be together, to share bread and wine in community, remembering God's love for us. And, you know, some days, we bring all sorts of things to the service, don't we? And some days we show up and we bring our sadness, or we bring our difficulties, or we bring our depression, our anxiety, whatever. But some days, a lot of days, hopefully we also catch a glimpse of God's presence with us, and that can fill our hearts, and our hearts might burn within us as the disciples experienced. I have to say that myself, more often than noticing my heart burning with joy, more often I notice a different kind of discomfort inside, a different kind of flame burning in my heart. Often I notice one that comes from anxiety. It comes from fear or anger or hurt. Sometimes I'm just full of emotion and I feel defenseless against it. And, you know, I mean, feeling too much joy is kind of scary, but feeling too much negativity is even worse. And so often I want to avoid the extremes. Sometimes we feel like we would be willing to do almost anything to make it go away. And so sometimes maybe we work hard so that we can ignore the thing that's bothering us. Or sometimes maybe we pursue therapy. Or we get a new job, or we move house, or we do something. Even short-term something, like sleeping. Or self-medicating with alcohol or drugs. Sometimes our hearts are burning within us and it's almost unbearable. But this morning I want to ask, what if? What if that burning inside of us, our hearts burning, what if that's like the shrubbery that Moses encountered out on the mountainside? What if God is speaking, if not through that burning, then around it and because of it? What if instead of avoiding the things that concern us, the things that are welling up inside of us, what if instead we choose to follow Moses' example and to notice them, to linger around them, to loiter, to take our shoes off and wait a while, to pay attention? Is God speaking to me in this situation? It might take a while for our hearing to adjust, to be able to hear God, to understand God. Right? Just like when you sit in a quiet room and finally the background noises start to fade away and you can hear the things underneath. God often, in my experience, speaks so softly God is not a yeller. It can take time to listen to God. And so I ask you this morning, what is burning inside of you? Through what might God be calling to you? How might God be inviting you to change? How might God be inviting St. Thomas to change? You know, there are some fires in our lives and some fires in our hearts that need to be put out. Right? If you've eaten something that disagrees with you, then it might be time to find some Tums. But some fires need to burn. We heard about one of those in our gospel reading today. When Jesus is telling the disciples what's about to happen, he says, a fire is coming. We're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be persecuted by the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests, and I'm going to be crucified, and then I'll rise again. And Peter just couldn't stand it. Right? He couldn't hear all the way forward to the part about rising again. He got stuck on the crucified and persecuted and said, Lord, no way, we're not going to let that happen. Right? There's Peter trying to stamp out the flames before they really get going. And Jesus says, no. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And in fact, Jesus pours gasoline on the flames. This is what needs to happen. This is where we're going. Sometimes the fire is important because it can clear out the underbrush. Right? It can clear out all the underbrush competing, and that makes healthy the trees that remain. And perhaps even more importantly, it makes space for something new. Right? These fires that clear out the underbrush make space for new life. And isn't that why we're at church? Seeking new life. So again, I'll ask, what is it that is burning in you? What is it that's going on in your life right now that feels like it's threatening to consume you, but it hasn't quite yet? It might be something that you need to resolve and to finally put away. That's true. But if the fire is really hot, then it might be the Holy Spirit at work in you. And in that case, I urge you to stop, to wait, to ask, where is God in this? Amen?
Amen.